I'm really someone that likes to think about the business purpose and the requirements, because often we can go down the technology wormhole, and that's a big wormhole with so many things happening in digital and AI and deep learning and machine learning and everything else. It's really the business and the people outcomes that are driving these investment decisions, in my view. And so it's really important to understand those environmental factors, whether it's population growth, housing affordability, environmental sustainability, security risks, a changing workforce, whether it's something that's driving a particular city plan, like a second airport in Sydney, or, you know, the second sort of CBD that they're building in Parramatta. I'm obviously giving you a very Sydney lens, but I'm sure it can be sort of transformed into other cities as well. But yeah, it's really, really thinking about the business problem, I think, that's critical.
Hi, Smart Community friends. In this episode of the Smart Community Podcast, I have a great chat with Karandeep Chadhar. Karandeep has 2 decades of diverse work experience in government services, infrastructure, asset management, property, procurement, supply chain, consumer goods, technology, and financial services industries for top-tier Australian, US, and European organizations. In this episode, Karandeep tells us about his passion for innovation and smart cities and how he ended up in the smart community space. We talk about the importance of coming back to the business purpose and community requirements when implementing smart solutions, and why foundational transferable skills are so beneficial considering the broad range of skills needed in the smart community space. Karandeep tells us about some of the projects he's been working on, including what he has been learning from New Zealand's smaller scale, do more with less approach. We finish our chat discussing the emerging trends of cybersecurity and data privacy, as well as the need for affordability of smart initiatives and why partnering across different sectors and industries is the next step for smart communities. As always, we hope you enjoy listening to this episode as much as we enjoyed making it.
Welcome to the smart community, smart regions, smart towns, and smart cities. It's where we live, work, and play. With smart communities, the future starts today. Big data, smart mobility, emerging trends galore. The Smart Community Podcast is what you're looking for.
Hello, Karandeep. How are you today?
Hi, Zoe. I'm very good. Thank you.
I'm so excited to have you on the podcast. Where are you calling in from?
I'm in Sydney.
You're in Sydney. Yeah, I'm in Queensland. Is the weather as good as it is here down there?
No, not really. Today's not the greatest. But yeah, it's been all right this week. But yeah, it's a little bit overcast.
Yeah, I really should. I work with a lot of people in Sydney and I'm always bragging about the weather. So I won't do that anymore. Let's just jump straight in. And can you tell us about your background and what you're passionate about?
Sure. So I've been working for about 20 years in the industry. I've worked in government services for the last 7 years, prior to which I was in financial services and FMCG, mainly in strategy, transformation, innovation, tech, and project management roles. I'm really, really passionate about innovation. I really, really enjoy that, hence my smart cities, smart data bent. Yeah, I really enjoy learning about new trends that are happening around the world, how we can adapt that, obviously with a very business focused lens. Yeah, I'm really passionate about connecting with like-minded professionals and learning along life, new things, new developments. I just came back from New Zealand just this week as well for the Smart City Summit. So yeah, I really am passionate about meeting new people and learning new things.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to talking to you about a few of those different things, but we'll start broad first. So can you tell us what a smart community means to you?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I mean, for me, it's really about adapting models, adapting and facilitating a community that brings together professionals that help drive a business purpose. And that can be to facilitate better planning, design, and modeling for future needs within a digital context. So, I mean, that can involve various things from transportation, utilities, planning, natural resources, environmental, emergency management. It's really about being able to bring together people with passion and a focus in driving better outcomes and incorporating external trends, internal trends, and strategic goals. So, for example, smart city planning, precinct planning, customer experience. So it's really, really hard for me to put one thing to it, but it's really about incorporating macro and micro trends to drive digital transformation. That's how I would like to probably say that.
Yeah, I think what I like about your explanation there is it really demonstrates how broad it can be, but also those linkages that it can't just be, one kind of linear service model or delivery or whatever. It's actually a whole range of, or a whole web of different things that have to come together, which is, a huge, big, wicked, hairy kind of goal or problem or whatever to get to everything working together. But for me, it's it's not about that end goal. It's about what that then can catalyze us to do differently, even if it's just something really small to start with. That to me is still a smart community project, but it is about leveraging the tools that we have available, new technology, old technology, data, enabling the collection and the management of data better, those type of things, but also the humans, the people, like you were talking about, different skill sets that we can bring in. But also sometimes it's just, we need to communicate better, or these two organizations, are working towards the same goal. So how can we connect them together better? And that might be through tech and data, but also, better communication channels or initiating collaboration or whatever.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm really someone that likes to think about the business purpose and the requirements, because often we can go down the technology wormhole. And that's a big wormhole mm-hmm. with so many things happening in digital and AI and deep learning and machine learning and everything else. It's really the business and the people outcomes that are driving these investment decisions, in my view. And so it's really important to understand those environmental factors, whether it's population growth, housing affordability, environmental sustainability, security risks, a changing workforce, whether it's something that's driving a particular city plan, like a second airport in Sydney, or, the second sort of CBD that they're building in Parramatta. I'm obviously giving you a very Sydney lens, but I'm sure it can be sort of transformed into other cities as well. But yeah, it's really thinking about the business problem. I think that's critical, because I have noticed in the industry, fancy tech and smart city simulations and really cool robotics is obviously very exciting. However, it's really about thinking about what it's actually there for, what it's doing, and why we're doing it. I really like to think about those things.
Yeah, I think that's really important. And thanks for, expanding on that a little bit more about the business problem, because bringing in those trends, because obviously often, I don't know, if we go to a conference and we hear a futurist or something like that, the keynote, it's they're talking about these trends, but how do we actually then bring it back down and apply it to what we're, what we're trying to do? And I think it's that definition of the problem that we're trying to solve, but also that those external pressures can't be ignored, right? Because I often, particularly in the early days of Smart City, it was this Smart City is just going to solve all our problems. Here it is. We've built it. Tick. You get one of those and one of those and one of those, and you put it together, it was never the case, right? We knew that. But now we're actually talking about it as a, another kind of tool in our tool belt to solve some of these really big wicked problems that we have. And then those pressures that are coming at us, like population growth, climate change adaptation, all those type of things as well. So I'm really excited now, because we're actually, it's coming into the mainstream, and then, all the hype kind of gets stripped off and you're just left with the substance, which I think is a good thing. Not that it's easy, though. It's still very hard. Yeah, no, I like that. The business problem is a really good one. I'm actually keen to hear, how did you end up in this kind of smart space?
Yeah, I mean, I sort of have a background. I studied actuarial studies and statistics, which is a pretty high-end kind of course in analytics, almost, you can call it. We do a lot of education around risk and financial modeling, as well as applying data and statistical techniques. So it was really a very good foundation. I worked in financial services, as I mentioned before, in the likes of Suncorp and Royal & Sun Alliance in the UK. A lot of work around pricing analytics. So utilizing a lot of different data sets to come up with pricing models and financial studies. So that really high-end analytics was my background. And from there, I kind of went into more kind of business challenges and problems. And now in strategy. So as I mentioned before, I moved from financial services into FMCG and then now into property and infrastructure. So applied different concepts and skills. I also retrained myself. I did a master's in information systems and I really enjoyed the technology aspects of that as well. And yeah, I've kind of really just landed here, I guess. And yeah, it's been really fun, the journey. I mean, being able to, like, the foundation in terms of the skill sets are pretty much transportable across different industries. But I think the smart cities industry is a unique one because obviously it really links a lot of different concepts together, whether it's the planning side, whether it's the property development side, the asset management, once those properties and infrastructure components are built. It involves working with government, with industry, with NGOs, with obviously all kinds of international bodies as well. And it's got a very holistic lens as well, because it's got, you have to consider obviously circular economy, net zero, emerging technologies, you know, energy efficiency, decarbonization, greater mobility, network management. It's quite a broad and very exciting space to be in. And it's very strategic and innovative as well, which is really exciting because, yes, there are, you know, processes that are repeatable and required to be done, but it's really about, you know, applying that in new settings and coming up with new and funky ideas that can be implemented and make a big difference to society. It's a really exciting industry to be in.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I think bringing all those things together, and I think what you said around how the skill sets then are like transferable or transportable across, I think that's also really important. And I guess for the listeners, I often get, you know, messages in my LinkedIn inbox around like, oh, how do I get into this space? You know, what skills do I need in this space? And there's so many different ways and so many different skill sets. And it is exciting to get more and more people with different skills into this space as well, because then you ask better questions and get a better result at the end of the day as well.
Absolutely.
Well, tell us about some of the exciting things you've been up to, projects, or you were in New Zealand recently. Tell us about that.
Yeah, sure. I mean, where do I start? In New Zealand, just came back from the Smart Cities Conference in Auckland. It was run by the Smart Cities Council. There was a whole day, the 1st of August, and there were so many inspiring and informative speakers. We had Andrea Rickard from Becca introducing us. And I really like New Zealand. Before I get into the topic itself,
I love New Zealand.
I love not only the like landscape in terms of, you know, how beautiful it is in terms of the breeze and the environment, but also just how open it is to Maori culture. It's so fascinating. Like, just how they open up their speakers and how they try and incorporate all of the Maori culture into different things, and all their train stations as well have a Maori name. And it's so cool and so refreshing as well. Like, seeing, you know, the history of New Zealand and how it was formed from a British colony and the treaty that they signed. And it's always a very reflective time when I go there. And I must say, like, Australia's got a lot to learn in that space, I would say, as well, in terms of, you know, Indigenous and multiculturalism and reconciliation with the inhabitants that lived here for so many years. It's always a very inspiring time when I go there. And of course, it's not as big as Australia when it comes to all the mega, you know, infrastructure projects and development and population growth and everything like that. But it's a really cool, smart environment to be part of. So I was, as I mentioned, on the 1st of August, I was there. We had various speakers. We had speakers from Becca, from Orican. We had Auckland Transport, Wellington City Council, Transpower, and, you know, there were so many different use cases that were presented. I mean, there was impacts of AI and future of cities. I also recall there was quite a lot of work done around putting diversity, equity, and inclusion into the workforce. There was a lot of conversations with GHD Digital as well about what they're doing. And then they had AWS presenting their use cases. It was really cool. I mean, there was a big turnout of people. They also had a bit of an international flavor to it as well. They talked about the Saudi vision in terms of construction and also looking at BIM models and how they can be implemented. They had a number of different speakers. They had a Maori speaker as well, talking about how they're kind of incorporating that within their practices and encouraging more participation from the Maori communities in this smart cities industry. It was, yeah, I mean, there's so many things to talk about. I mean, it was really exciting. And
what new thing did you learn?
There were so many things. I mean, I was really impressed. As I said, they've got a small scale environment compared to Australia in terms of Sydney, at least, but just how adaptive they are in terms of getting everything done. I think the saying over there is do more with less. So it's kind of, I think if you're in a job over there, you're kind of doing end to end. Like, whereas in a lot of jobs in other countries, you'd probably be doing, okay, I'm going to be doing X, Y, and Z space in like digital and data cleansing and X, you know, I'll be sort of doing the data governance and someone else is doing the data science and the data, you know, artificial intelligence programming and someone else is doing the stakeholder management and the strategy. Whereas over there, it kind of felt like everyone was kind of involved with everything. Like, you talk to people and they kind of understand the whole equilibrium and the ecosystem, which is really interesting, to be honest.
Like the whole supply chain kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting. As you were talking there, I was thinking when I worked in regional Queensland in construction, obviously a completely different industry, like as an engineer, but I felt the same, like there wasn't enough people to separate and there wasn't enough like kind of projects. You had to be involved from, you might have done a bit of work in the design and then you might have been, you know, in the planning, the design, and then you might go out on site. And then it was really nice to kind of see things end to end. In a lot of cases, yeah, so similar, yeah.
There were so many things. I mean, I was involved in one of the sessions as well around smart transport. We spoke about urban futures, the challenge and opportunities in the midst of rapid growth and urbanization. We also spoke about renewable energy and how energy reduction and sustainability is important for the smart transport hubs, zero carbon targets. New Zealand's obviously got a big focus on that with the Climate Change Response Act that they implemented in 2019. There was a lot of conversation around resilience because they've had a number of obviously flooding events and other extreme environmental events, not to mention the earthquakes in Christchurch. So how they respond to all of that from their infrastructure perspective. We had also a number of conversations about intermodal futures in terms of being able to connect and commute modes of transport and influencing, I guess, future developments around that. So there was just a mixture of different things and topics. And there were a number of people from various different, you know, private and public sector organizations there. And it was just fascinating just to network and learn about different things and what's going on, you know, various capacities. I mean, I would say obviously, like, you know, Australia is quite ahead when it comes to a lot of the technological implementation, particularly when it comes to infrastructure planning and design, when it comes to delivery of large scale projects. Obviously in Sydney, we've got the metro project happening right now. Obviously we've got the second airport also coming up. As I mentioned before, we obviously have, I think, a lot bigger resources and a lot bigger, you know, I guess money to throw around on various things. But it's just fascinating just to like learn about what's going on in other countries.
Yeah, I love that because I love New Zealand as well. And I'll be over there in September for the Christchurch Innovation Expo, which will be really fun. And they're also, they've got like a bit of a community. Well, they've got a very community focus. So the first day is all open, like free to the public. So that
all right.
Which will be in even like, I think that's a really different approach as well because, and then the second day is, you know, with government, industry, business, et cetera. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I love talking to like the general community about this stuff because you get to know what they're thinking about, what they don't think about, what they don't really care about.
Yeah.
And also like what they then can learn as well and then also input into the space, which will be good. But that's enough about me. I was going to ask you something, but then I got sidetracked by Christchurch. Yeah, that's cool. So tell us about some of the other, like, because you're involved in a few different like task forces and things like that. Yeah, tell us about some of those.
Yeah, so I'm also part of the New South Wales Committee for the Chartered Institute of Logistics and Transport. So I have a huge transport bent and I really enjoy learning about new research, policy and professional development and continuous improvement activities. So their committee has been established, you know, it's got a big sort of record in terms of they're in the UK since 1919. They've got a very sort of historical and prestigious reputation around the world. They're just establishing themselves in Australia at the moment. And I was lucky enough to get invited to be part of their New South Wales committee and really think about logistics and transport because obviously they're two separate areas, but also interlinked in many ways as well, like the supply chain components, as well as the actual infrastructure delivery and property and all the other, you know, things that are within transport. So yeah, I've just really started in that committee. So I don't really have a lot to talk about yet, but maybe next time.
From the logistics perspective, I think that's a really interesting one because there's so many opportunities for digitization and technology and also something that we use every single day, but we don't even think about using every single day, but obviously affects our lives about how we get things, how things are moved around, has huge implications on emissions and all those type of things. It's so interlinked with transport and, you know, mobility and things like that. Yeah, I think it's a really interesting one. So yeah, looking forward to hearing more about that once you get deeper in.
Yeah, absolutely. I've also got a background in procurement and I'm actually currently working a lot in the facilities management space as well within transport. So the logistics and supply chain elements are equally interesting for me, more from a construction and more from a, as I mentioned before, more from a like actual property management perspective. So resolving issues like weeds, bushfires, lawn mowing, illegal dumping, pest control, all those elements and more. So that is also quite an interesting component to the whole logistics and supply chain elements.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, it's one of those things that's just so like an interconnected web of so many different things that affect each other. So yeah, it's an interesting one too. Yeah, you're on some other task force as well.
Yeah. So I'm on the Digital Twins Action Task Force run by the Smart Cities Council. That's where, you know, we went on this week, as I mentioned before. And that's actually developing a full-scale proposal or action-orientated, I guess, discussion paper around how we can optimize transport infrastructure and systems in the context of smart city development. So it's really getting into smart transport hubs, how they play a pivotal role in the logistics of passengers and freight mobility, looking at, you know, numerous challenges for the future, sustainability, energy efficiency and decarbonization, also getting into all the other elements in terms of onshoring and nearshoring, curated network management, shared economy, security, energy security and freight interchanges. Yeah, I mean, it's got a very big innovation twist to it as well in terms of emerging technologies like Hyperloop and ultra speed maglev trains. We've, as I said, kicked that off about a month and a half ago, and we're still developing, you know, more evidence-based research and putting together a number of different things. It's really exciting because we've got people from industry and government like me as well on there. And yeah, it's basically putting together a whole range of different ideas and molding some kind of, I guess, paper that can help drive discussion in this industry.
Yeah, that's awesome. From your perspective, think about like digital twins and transport, what are some of those use cases, I guess, that you see that are going to be really important in the future?
Yeah, I mean, in the future, definitely transport is getting more and more smarter and sophisticated. As I mentioned before, whether it's the actual transport hub itself, whether it's the airport, the port, the train station, whether it's any of the actual vehicles, like the autonomous cars, electric vehicles, light rail. The whole system is getting more and more digital. In Sydney, you know, we've got the Northwest Rail Link, and that doesn't have drivers. It's run through technology. So everything, I think, is moving in that direction. Obviously, taking into account privacy and sensitivity and security considerations as well, because I think that's a big thing in transportation, because we are transporting humans. But in terms of the actual processes, the vehicles, the actual hubs, I guess the ability to book transportation, it's fast moving in that direction with emerging technologies. I mean, even in some parts of Sydney, you can, you know, use an app to call a bus, and it would probably not have a route, and it would come to your door and pick you up. So everything's moving very quickly in that direction. And then we haven't really spoken about the whole construction and the building side of that. So using BIM models, building information modeling solutions, even within the construction industry, there's more and more trends happening with IoT devices, with satellite imagery, with spatial analysis, drones. Drones are quite big as well in industry. So yeah, it's really fastly changing and moving in a more digital fashion.
Yeah, I agree. And I think even, you know, some of the inverted commas, older technologies like BIM, for example, you know, we've been using BIM for a while. We talk about BIM, but then there's still obviously opportunities where to improve that, improve the use, etc. But then fusing that with real-time data or data in general, all those type of things as well, I think then, you know, pushes it to that next scale of like real insights and different use cases that we can, you know, that can happen. And I think that's a really exciting time too. But also, yeah, kind of using it as a catalyst. I always think about digital twins as using it as a catalyst to get the rest of our data house or technology house or, you know, governance in order. So because if we want that, you could have this shiny thing on the outside, but if the substance underneath it doesn't work together properly and isn't efficient, then, you know, you're no better off than you were previously. So, yeah.
Absolutely.
So future trends, what are the emerging trends that people aren't talking about enough?
I think security risks are obviously increasing more and more with cybersecurity leakages and other security risks around the world as well in terms of infrastructure, obviously terrorism being one of them, but just in general, people's identity being, you know, frauded and you know, money being taken out of their accounts. I think security risks are quite significant, especially within that sort of digital and smart ecosystem. I think more and more scrutiny and more investment needs to be made in that direction. I guess overall, also the other area that's, I think, quite important is affordability, particularly in large cities like Sydney and Brisbane and Melbourne. So really being able to come up with solutions and unlocking supply chains, particularly when it comes to housing affordability, but in general, other affordability aspects as well. Like if the transport system is expensive, then is it really going to be used as much? Or, you know, if it's like a pay to use system, will we get uptake across all of the population that we want? So I think really thinking about those affordability components is quite critical as well. It's very all in well and very good to develop something which is really cool and you know, jazzy, but is it really going to be used and have the uptake to be implemented across the board and utilized in an affordable way? I think also needs to be considered. I mean, there are various other trends as well that come to mind, but those two are the ones that really stand out to me.
Yeah, I think they're two really great trends to talk about. I think affordability is one that we don't talk about enough. But yeah, it's like if we're, you know, creating smart whatever or, you know, improving XYZ, if it's not improving the access for people that didn't have access before, or, you know, that have limited access or removes them from access, it, you know, it's not good. And that's not what we want for our, you know, smart communities moving forward or our communities moving forward. And, you know, that's the you could kind of be like, well, yeah, that's fairly obvious. But if it's not baked in from the very beginning, if we're not talking about it from the very beginning, that can happen as a unintended consequence, which then it's too late. I mean, you can kind of scale back, but, and it's similar with cybersecurity actually, and like privacy and things like that. You need to bake that in from the very beginning. And yeah, the risks are changing, as you said, and they, you know, the landscape is changing, and to keep on top of that and in front, if that is even possible, is, yeah, a really interesting one. Then in the next few years, it'll be an interesting one to watch as well.
Yeah, and we saw so many data leakages in the last 6 to 12 months as well from large organizations. So
yeah,
it's definitely a big issue.
And they're the ones that have been detected, right? yes. Well, where to next for smart communities?
Where to next? I think it's really about collaborating and coming up with delivery partners, working across the different industries and sectors. So the university sector, startup scene, association and groups, industry partners as well. Obviously government, and government includes the federal, state, local government, and then also the semi-government bodies like the SOCs that we have as well, like Sydney Water in here, in New South Wales, Landcom, Ausgrid. It's really that whole ecosystem and working in partnership and collaboration, being solution orientated as well. Like, it's all, you know, good and fun to meet up and have drinks and coffee, but really driving actions and results, I think, is really important. And as I said before, not getting into the wormhole of, you know, really interesting technology trends, but really thinking about the business drivers and the macro and micro trends. What is it? We're only in existence because we're helping to solve a business need or a community need, right? Whether it's affordability, whether it's efficiency, whether it's, you know, solving a particular problem like sustainability issues or facilities management, smart buildings, parking, crowd control. I can just go on and on, right? So it's really thinking about all of those components, I think, in the future, which I think we're getting better and better at.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, like, yeah, I love the conversations, but then, you know, that needs to then lead to like action, or at least identifying collaboration partners, or the action's going to take here and place here, or here's a plan for delivery. I think we're seeing more of that now, as we had to have a lot of conversations in the beginning to work out what, you know, how we were going to tackle this thing to move forward, which, and then, like you said, there's so many different sectors and parts of the ecosystem. It's not just one thing. So, yeah.
That's right.
Well, Karandeep, it's been so great to have you on the podcast. I've really enjoyed this conversation, and I do look forward to having another one with you as well, because, yeah, I think there's so many things we could discuss. So, but yeah, thanks so much for coming on the pod.
Thank you so much, Zoe, for the opportunity. And if anyone wants to connect with me, they can, I guess, find me on LinkedIn, Karandeep Chatter. So looking forward to networking as well through this.
Excellent. Yes. Well, I was going to ask how people connect with you, but you've done that. That's awesome. We'll put all the links in the show notes so people can click away and find you. Thanks again for coming on to the Smart Community Podcast.
Thank you, Zoe. Thanks.
Talk soon. Bye.
Bye.
The Smart Community Podcast is brought to you by My Smart Community. If you're looking for support in podcast strategy and production, workshop design and facilitation, or communication and media advisory, get in touch. Email hello@mysmart.community or head to www.mysmart.community.
Thanks so much for listening to the Smart Community Podcast. Show notes for this episode and all other episodes are available on our website, mysmart.community/podcast. If you have any questions for us or any of our guests, you can email hello@mysmart.community. You can also find us on the socials. We are on LinkedIn and Twitter @smartcomhq. That's com with 2 M's. If you are enjoying the podcast, please hit subscribe so you never miss an episode. And we would love for you to leave us a rating and review at wherever you listen. This really helps us reach more ears and eyes, so thank you for your support. As always, we hope you enjoyed listening to this episode as much as we enjoyed making it.
Smart Community Podcast is what you're looking for.